Now, if you have your Bibles in front of you, please turn to the passage that Andrew read for us a little earlier, Psalm 16. And as I said, I'm going to be expounding this morning verse 2. And Psalm 16 verse 2 says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. We began studying Psalm 16 a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching last, and I made the point then that I think we're going to be in this psalm a number of weeks. And the reason is because this is one of those passages which is full of blessings. It is rather like there's a list of blessings that God has written in this psalm. And God says to us as his people that I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how much my heart is filled with grace and mercy and compassion and tenderness towards you. I want you to know what blessings I have for you. And so this psalm was written, and it's rather like you could almost entitle the psalm, here is a list of blessings that God has for us. And then you underline the number 1, verse 1, number 2, verse 2, number 3, verse 3, blessings of God. Now, of course, the psalm doesn't exhaust all the blessings. You know what eternity is? Eternity will be discovering the blessings that God has for us in Christ. That's what we will be doing in heaven. Heaven is a discovery. Heaven is a journey. I hope you're not thinking heaven is sitting on clouds playing harps. It's nothing of the kind. Heaven is being in the presence of Jesus. And heaven is discovering more and more the character of Jesus. It is learning more and more the heart of Jesus, the personality of Jesus, because he is God's blessing to us. And as we discover more and more his character, his personality, and who he is, so we see the blessings that God has for us, and heaven is a discovery. So heaven will be increasingly understanding the blessings of God. When we will have been in heaven 10,000 years, we will know more of Christ than when we first entered, but we still won't know him fully. Another 10,000 years, we will know more of him, but we still won't know him fully. So it's this wonderful discovery of the blessings of God. Now, those blessings begin here on earth. It's not the case, and please do not think this is the case, that here on earth, the Christian life is hard and difficult and full of trials, no joy, no happiness, no fun, no delight. You just clench your fists and grit your teeth and just make it through so that when you finally enter, then the blessings begin, but no blessings here on earth. Do not think of heaven or do not think of the Christian life like that. The blessings that Jesus secured for us on the cross of Calvary begin here on earth. Our lives here on earth are to be full of blessing. Our lives here on earth are to be full of joy. I mean, you look at this psalm and some of the things that he says, look at, for example, at the very last verse, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Now, he's not speaking about heaven. David isn't speaking about heaven in verse 11. He's saying, here on earth, you make known to me the path of life. You reveal to me what life I'm to live here on earth. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's talking about life here on earth. Now, if David, who lived under the old covenant, before Jesus came and died on the cross, could have from the hand of God fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. How much more we who live under the new covenant, having known so much about Jesus and his death on the cross for us, how much more should we be enjoying fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore? Do you know life, the Christian life is a life of joy. The Christian life is a life of blessing. It's a life of delight. I'm not saying there are no difficulties in life. Of course there are. I'm not saying there are no trials in life. Of course there are. But the dominant feature of the Christian life on earth is a life of joy, a life of blessing. It's to know God and to love God and to know his love and to delight in him. So this is why I'm taking time in Psalm 16, because it is this catalogue of blessings that Christ has secured for us and the Holy Spirit brings to us. And I don't want to rush through it. I want to stop at each verse and look at what blessings are listed there for us. So we're looking this morning at verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. It's a very simple sermon. I just have three things for you. And they're not theologically complicated or anything like that. But a lot of it will be application. Three things then in this verse. And the first is this. God is our savior from sin. We're looking at the blessings that God has secured for us. And the first one is this. God is our savior from sin. And the reason I say that is because he says in verse 2, I say to the Lord. Now that first use of the word Lord, you notice it is in block capitals, and that is how the English translations translate the word Jehovah. Every time you see the word Lord in block capitals, it is the word Jehovah. And what David is doing here, he is saying to Jehovah, he's meditating on Jehovah. Now, who is Jehovah? Well, Jehovah first revealed himself in this name, using this name, to Moses when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. You know the story in Exodus. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And their lives were terrible because they were in this foreign land under a foreign ruler and they were abused and hated and being exterminated. And they cried out to God for mercy. And God appeared to Moses in the burning bush in the wilderness. And God said to Moses, I am Jehovah. I am the one who has heard the prayers of my people. I am the one who has the power and the ability and the will to save my people. And I am going to deliver my people from their slavery in Egypt. And Jehovah then sent Moses to Pharaoh. And Jehovah then released his people from slavery to sin. To the Egyptians, Jehovah then brought those curses upon the Egyptians. And Jehovah then brought his people out of slavery and through the Red Sea and through the wilderness into the promised land. He is the deliverer of his people. This is what the word Jehovah brings to mind. And this is the first great blessing in this verse. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have been wonderfully blessed of God. Because God has done some tremendous things for you. Perhaps you've been a Christian many years and you've forgotten some of these things. This is how we are as human beings. We receive a tremendous blessing. And when we receive that blessing, our hearts are filled with joy and we are thrilled at the blessings we receive. And then we go on for years in the Christian life and somehow the sands of time obscure those blessings. They cover them up and we forget what it was like. But you know, this is a tremendous thing. Because like the Egyptians who were slaves in Egypt, we were slaves of sin. And just as they had a terrible life, we lived a terrible life. we might have thought that sin brings us pleasure, really didn't bring us real pleasure. And then one day God came to us, and God by his Spirit convicted us of our sin, and God by his Spirit granted us repentance and granted us faith to believe in Jesus and brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, brought us into his kingdom and made us his beloved children. We have been forgiven all our sins. We have been brought out of slavery to sin. We have been redeemed. The anger of God is no longer upon us, and the punishment of sin is no longer ours. Christ has paid the penalty for our sin. Christ has removed the anger of God, and Christ has brought us out of darkness into God's light. If you ever get discouraged, you get depressed, you feel low, meditate on your salvation. Think of the blessings that God has given you in Christ in your salvation. This is what David is doing in Psalm 16 here. He is saying, I say to Jehovah. And he's thinking back of the Exodus and how God graciously, kindly, powerfully brought his people out of darkness. And David says, I personally have experienced that as well. God is our savior from sin. But then there's a second thing in this verse. God is our savior from sin. But then secondly, God protects and provides for us. God protects and provides for us. Look at the way that this verse 2 progresses. I say to Jehovah, you are my Adonai. He's using two words, two names of God in the same verse. So he's saying to Jehovah, the one who has redeemed Israel out of Egypt, and the one who has made Israel his own people, he says to him, you are my Adonai, my master, my Lord, my sovereign protector. Because that is what the word Adonai means. It's another common word, common name for God in the Old Testament. There are all sorts of names for God in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament is God revealing himself. It is God saying, this is who I am. And each different name that we have for God reveals an aspect of his character. So Jehovah speaks about the Redeemer God, the one who appeared to Moses in the wilderness and brought Israel out of Egypt. But you have this name Adonai. And the word Adonai in the Old Testament is translated master, protector, provider. The one who watches over you. Now notice the way that David puts it. He doesn't say, I say to the Lord, you are the Lord. Do you notice that? You are my Lord, my Lord. It's a personal thing here. David is saying, yes, Jehovah is the Redeemer of Israel. And yes, Jehovah brought Israel out of Egypt. And yes, Jehovah made a covenant with Israel. So Jehovah is Israel's God. Of course he is. But David says it's more than that, you know. He is my Lord. He is my protector. He is my provider. He is my sovereign. He is the one who watches over me personally. This is what makes the Christian faith unique. If you ever speak to a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Buddhist, and you talk about God, do you know a Muslim will never say, my Allah. They're actually forbidden to say, my Allah. That you can't say that. A Hindu will never say, my Krishna. That's forbidden. It's a sin to say such things. A Buddhist will never refer to his God as my Lord. Because none of these religions, they're all false religions, and none of these religions have this personal one-to-one relationship with God. But we do. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have a personal one-to-one relationship with the triune God. More than that, you have a personal one-to-one relationship with God the Father. And you have a personal one-to-one relationship with God the Son, which is different to your relationship with God the Father. Did you know that? And you have a personal one-to-one relationship with God the Holy Spirit, which is a different type of relationship. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. That you are in a relationship with a triune God, and the nature of your relationship with God the Father is different to the nature of your relationship with God the Son, and that is different to the nature of your relationship with God the Spirit. This is why in the New Testament, for example, the first letter of John, John says, we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You know, the New Testament speaks about our relationship to God in those sort of terms. And we need to discover these things because these things are glorious. They're there for our encouragement. Our relationship with God the Father is a love relationship. God the Father loves us. He's our Father who loves us and loves us and loves us. Now, of course, our relationship with Jesus Christ is also a relationship of love. But there is an added aspect to it in that he is our Redeemer. And his death on the cross of Calvary comes into his relationship with us. Because he died for us. And he is as human as we are human. Even today, he is a human being. And so you see, there's a certain aspect to his relationship with us. And the relationship that the God, the Holy Spirit has with us, again, is slightly different because he has been sent to us that he might transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And he brings the love of Jesus into our hearts and he fills our hearts with the love of Jesus. And he encourages us to pray and he encourages us to follow Christ. Of course, it's a love relationship with the triune God. It's a relationship of grace and mercy. But there are little aspects there which are slightly different because each person relates to us in a slightly different way. If you want to know more about this, there's a wonderful book by the Puritan John Owen, and he explores our communion with God. But the point I'm making is this, that we have a personal relationship with the Lord who is the sovereign protector and the sovereign provider. Do you find yourself getting low? Do you find yourself getting troubled, getting anxious about things? Do you find it that as winter comes and we have rain and rain and more rain, you just find yourself feeling flat and feeling really rather disenchanted? Well, why not go to the Lord and say to him what David says to him? Yes, you are Jehovah, the Savior of your people, but you are my sovereign protector and my sovereign provider. And I need comfort and I need encouraging. Will you come and encourage me today? Do you know you can pray that? If you're feeling discouraged, go and ask God to encourage you. If you're feeling lonely, go and ask God the Spirit to come and visit you and to fill your heart with the love of Jesus. If you're feeling anxious, go and ask the Lord to deal with your anxiety. He is your sovereign protector and your sovereign provider. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. So we've seen two things. God is our Savior from sin. God protects and provides for us. And then the third thing in this verse, God floods our lives with his blessings. God floods our lives with his blessings. The version that I'm reading, ESV, translates the second half of verse 16. I have no good apart from you. I don't want to get into the technical part of it, but in the Hebrew, that little phrase is very difficult to translate. And that's why if you have a different version, it may have a completely different translation. It's one of those Hebrew phrases that our translations just struggle to get to terms with. But what it's doing, it is talking about the blessings of God. And what it is doing, it is saying to God, my life is filled with joy because your blessings come flooding into my heart. I think if I was translating the Old Testament, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but if I was translating the Old Testament, I would have been tempted to translate that little phrase like that. My heart and my life are filled with blessings from you because you flood, you fill my heart with your blessings. That's the sentiment. That is what David is saying there. I know it's translated, apart from you, I have no good. But there's more to it than that. And this is what David is saying. David is saying, I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed by Jehovah from sin and darkness. I've been brought into the kingdom of God, and I've been made a child of God. And the Lord is now my Lord. He is my sovereign. He is my protector. He is my provider. And he floods my life and he floods my heart with his blessings. What is the Christian life all about? How do we summarize day-to-day Christian life? Well, let me summarize it like this. The Christian life is God pouring blessings into our hearts, and we rejoicing in God, worshiping God, and living lives of glory to God. That's the Christian life. God pouring his blessings into our hearts. God pouring love and grace and mercy and kindness and tenderness and compassion into our hearts and flooding our hearts with his love. And our hearts respond in love and obedience, bringing glory to him. That's the Christian life. That's what David is saying here. David is saying, I look at my life and I can see that the lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. I can see that at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I can see that there is joy and delight in your presence. Do you know, my friends, Christ has secured tremendous, tremendous blessings for us at the cross of Calvary. We mustn't live beneath what God has intended for us. We mustn't put up with a life that is filled with frustration and anxiety and depression. Yes, I know we go through phases in our lives. Of course we do. I know that. And I know that things come into our lives that bring anxiety and depression and cast us down. Of course I know that. Believe me, I do know that. But I say this to you, that it is God's declared intention to bless us. It is God's declared intention to love us. He is determined to love us and bless us and to fill our hearts and our lives with his love and his blessings. That is his intention. That is his desire. And we must come to him, and we must never think of him as mean and reluctant. You know how some people just are niggardly and reluctant to give anything good to anybody, and will only do it when forced to. We must never think of God like that. God delights in mercy. God delights to love his people. God is thrilled to love his people. It thrills his heart to pour his love into our hearts. Why not come and say to him, Lord, fill my heart with your love. Fill my heart with your blessings. Pour your blessings into my life. Take away my anxiety and my depression and my discouragement, and fill my heart with joy and with delight. He will do it. That actually, you know, is revival. We've been speaking about revival today. What is revival? It is the Spirit coming to visit each one of us and the Spirit filling our hearts with the love of God and the grace of God and filling our hearts with delight in God. And when it happens to the whole church, revival has come to that church. Pray that God comes to visit you and pray that He fills your heart with love and with blessings. We have a great God who is determined to bless us.